As we open the prayer meeting to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And being alive on planet Earth, you must understand, you do understand, that it's a process of growing and knowing and growing and knowing. And all of that is required in order to face an ongoing, changing world system, a society, communities. And in there, God, in that, growing and knowing, that's part of being alive. And trouble is, when we reach a certain point sometime, we stop learning and we stop growing, and that's too bad. Then we're unable to rightly handle the situations that keep changing. So now, having said that, our world system does not have that. Our world system, that's why things happen like they do, because people are not, you have a very unstable conditions, not only in our own country, but in the world. And that makes for problems. You have to fix the understanding. You have to understand the problem. And we tend to try to fix it by change. We try to fix the bad, using potatoes again. We try to fix the bad potatoes inside by putting on a new coat, by changing a new tie, and we try to fix it, and we don't address the problems because they're personal, and they involve society, and people don't want to be having told to fix anything. Now, having said that little bit in the light of our day, so you understand, you know all this stuff. Now, as believers, believers, then we're in the same thing, only we have an advantage. We have God's word that we can grow and understand. We have that, and we can exercise it. And in the process, we learn. That's how we grow. I bet all of you could say that more or less. You know, I wish I knew things back 40 years ago, 50, 60 years ago. I wish I knew them. It would have been different, but I didn't know them. And by the time I do know them, I'll be dead. But at least I have been exercised to learn them. And that's the big thing. You say, I wish I had done this. You may have. But if you at least see it, that's an advantage. So back to our little study on reminding ourselves of why we sit here. And in Luke, you will notice, this is about 4 months before Christ is crucified. So now, and therefore, chapter 11, verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now, so, Lord, they listened to him. They watched him. They watched and listened as he talked to God the Father. Now they said, one of them said, help us to be able to do that. We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to do it. We want to do it. Therefore, verse 2, he said unto them, when you pray, answering the question, Our Father, when you pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven. He told them to talk to God the Father. B, hallowed be thy name. God, you are one holy, awesome person. We're going to talk to God, our Father, who is holy. Holy, wonderfully awesome in his wonderful person. Thirdly, Thy kingdom come. That's prayer. Third thing, teach us to pray. Well, what are we going to pray? We're going to talk to God the Father, and we are to be mindful that He is most holy. And we're going to pray that Thy kingdom would come. So we're looking, God, for Your outworking of Your wonderful, not today, we aren't trying to work out today, God, we're looking for the future to happen. If we don't look for the future to happen, we're becoming content with the present. And the present is no good. So you got to be understand, you're looking to the future so that you can progress to get where you're going. Otherwise, you're becoming content with the moment. Fourthly, thy will be done as it is in heaven, so in earth. So, our Father, most holy, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Stop. Do this. Do these things, and you will pray. But what about? They aren't mentioned. Why didn't you mention them? Because they are not relevant to what you're doing. What are you doing? You're praying. What do you mean you're praying? Aren't you talking to God? You aren't talking to the government. You aren't talking to someone at work or school. You're talking to God. And all of a sudden, you aren't addressing the guy in the street in the corner. You're addressing the most holy, heavenly God. Now, so having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's prayer. And so praying, and we share together to believe. Believers need to believe. When you get saved, I'll do this another way. Because people say, well, help us to pray. Well, what is prayer? Prayer is your relationship to God practiced. You practice talking to your relationship. When you were born physically, you began to talk to the world around you. True? You were born physically, and you went and learned to say words. And what were you doing? You were learning to what? Weren't you learning to talk? That's what you were doing. You were learning to use the physical language of humans to talk. And how did you learn to talk? By talking. To everyone, everywhere, anyhow, and everything, you learn to talk in the physical realm, earthly realm. When you get saved, how do I learn to pray? Teach me to pray. If you're saved, talk to God. He says what? Abba, Father. When does He say it? At A, the square. You haven't been saved? 10 minutes. He's going to start telling you to say it. What did you say, Lord? Teach us to pray. Say, Our Father. So you learn to talk. You talk to each other. You talk to yourself. Talk to God if you're saved. That's all. You want to learn to pray? Powerful prayer? Talk to God. That's how you learn to pray. There's no big session. There's no big persons that are going to teach you to pray. They can help you growing up in words and talking and what words mean as a person in the human realm growing up. But that's what you do. So prayer, we share together. Prayer is the realization of your relationship, that you're alive and you're saved and you talk to God. That's what you do. And if you're still here in Luke 11, then you add, what do you do? Helpful in what we're doing. Verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. So what are you going to do? You're going to talk, and you're going to talk to the Father, and you're going to have needs. Give us diapers, daily bread. Give us what we need. That's what we're going to do. Thirdly, what else are you going to do? You're going to look for your needs to be met by the Father. And, thirdly, verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. So God, we're looking to you and to forgive us our sins. Now that was before the cross. And in the light of that, what are we looking at? Well, as believers, we are forgiven. Are we just forgiven? When were you forgiven? When were you forgiven? I don't know, I'm asking. When you got saved. How much were you forgiven? Were you forgiven all of your thoughts, words, and deeds that are going to happen tomorrow morning? You haven't even got to even pile them up yet. Were you forgiven? 10 years from now, if the Lord tarries and you were to live, you've accumulated 10 years. But in all those 10 years, there was not one moment of your life that you were not forgiven. So if believers, talking to God and looking for God to meet the need, and in our relationships, what are we doing? We're going to understand that we are forgiven. And that's how you start. Start and finish. God, you've forgiven us. I am forgiven right now of all that's going on, walking in the light as he is in the light. And I'm being forgiven. Therefore, my whole understanding, praying, looking to God, I'm going to be God conscious, hopefully, looking to God, praying, and in doing so, I'm going to relax. And people can come and say, do whatever, but I don't let any of it pile up. Why? Because I'm forgiven. And what do I know being forgiven? Christ died for all of my humanity that exercises itself apart from who he is, and for my old nature and everything else therein. And he died for it. And therefore, I'm not going to get hung up earthly because I'm forgiven. And I don't, that's what I do. I live being forgiven. Forgiven by whom? God. In the light of a world, I'm just like all of them. All 7 billion plus of us on the same boat. So when I look around and across the world, they're all like me. And I understand that. And God saved me. Now, that's the prayer. You want to learn to pray. That's what you do. Pretty simple. Do it. Now, we'll put it review very quickly. But lock it in. If you don't lock it in, you can't practice it. You have to know, if you have a new gadget, you got to know which buttons to push and in which order to push them. You can't just push them any old way. You press certain buttons in a certain order to have it work. So God, I want to have it. I don't want to lock it. I want to. When I lay in bed, I want to have it. When I dream, I want it accurate, as it were. Now, over if you would please, in the light of that. And we shared together in the process of the light of that. We shared prayer in the Old Testament, and we did all that to remind you. It's an incitement in stirring up the heart, in looking a person back to your children for the needs. Little children growing up, they cry out. And they cry out when they're hungry, when they have other needs, and they announce the need. Prayer, incitement, imploring, action. You want action in the relationship. Relationship to whom? God. Now, so, and therefore we share together, and so the New Testament to cry aloud, etc. Now, and God, so here we are looking to you, and we shared a little bit to remind ourselves of your awesome person, that you are to us everything, and you are our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30. You're everything. So when we're coming, when we're talking to you, Father, when we're talking to you, that there's nothing outside to be neglected or forgotten, or you aren't considering it. Say it another way. You are considering everything about our little life perfectly. For all of our life, start to finish, time, eternity. So you provided in yourself, in the relationship, to be able to handle forever, which is true. Now, and having said that, and therefore we're new creatures in Christ, and God has gone and done wonderful things for us, and we touched on them. Here's just one, over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, all of those things are wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully true. So you don't have to sit there and wonder about them. They're all wonderfully true. So now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if I can, picking up in verse 21, in the light of man's vain thoughts, wisdom, verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in men, humans, no, but why? For all things are yours. You already have them, so you don't need to figure it out. Whether Paul or Paulus or Cephas, Peter, or of the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ and Christ is God's. It's a unique relationship that covers all the bases, excluding none. So when we're talking to God the Father, that's why you go directly. That's why you don't have to wander all over the place. What about, what about, what about? Because then you're all over the place. And all over your place doesn't have the answers. God has all the answers. God is the answer. He already has the information. So you're relaxing. That's why prayer is a powerful. Why is it powerful? Because you aren't getting burdened and bothered and bumbling around trying to figure out everything in the wrong way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, and God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and God, you've done, there's nothing missing whatsoever. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we're going to look to you, God, and trust you in a most awesome way, and our relationship to you, and God the Holy Spirit is going to be doing his wonderful work, and he's going to go and be honoring. What do you do, Spirit of God? I need to go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I need to remind you and make sure that you are exercising your relationship to God. Therefore, you remember in Galatians chapter 4 and in Romans chapter 8, you're going to say, Abba, Father, Father. Now, what did you say in Luke chapter 11, verse 2? Father. What about, no, we just did it on Sunday. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the Father. Where do you end up? With the Father. You want answers? Don't drift away. If you're saved and child of God, exercise it. Now, that's prayer. Now, hang on, I want to get... Now, in the light of all of that, so our physical birth gives us our earthly relationship, and spiritual birth gives us a wonderful heavenly relationship. And we need to exercise that. So in the process, we share together, we're going to look to God, and as our Lord in John 8, 28, 29, and that, our Lord did always those things that pleased him, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Pleased who? Pleased the Father. So what were you doing 24 hours a day, 7 days, for 3 1/3 years, publicly? You were pleasing the Father. What else? What else? What else? No, that's what I did. There must have been something else. No, there was nothing else. There is nothing else. There is nothing else. God is God. Wow. So now, or if you would, to see it, remember now our Lord is going to say, not my will, but thy will be done. God looking to God's will in a most wonderful way to work it out. And by the way, as you do that, let's go over to John chapter 6, among all kinds of ways, places, and remind ourselves. And John chapter 6, picking up, please, in thought. You'll remember verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For a reason, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's what I did. I didn't come down. I have no business. Your need and my need and all, no. I didn't come. I came down for one reason. Why, God, are you expressing yourself? So that we would understand. Our Lord came to exercise. What did you read in Luke 11 and verse 2, etc.? Thy kingdom, what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Well, when are we? It isn't about. It's about what God has a wonderful plan in mind, and God the Father is outworking it, and you and I are learning to trust God in the process and exercising it. And that's what our Lord did perfectly. And as my Father sent me, so send I you, John 17. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to 1 Thessalonians. And just to remind you again and myself, remember we looked at all of these little words in some detail so that you could turn your Bible pages and it's going to say it again and again. And that's what you want to understand. God meant what he said and says what he means. And he makes it very simple. Otherwise, it would be very complicated and very hard to figure out what and who and when and where and why. No, because we have a wonderful Father, when you're saved, to enjoy that relationship in order to exercise God's wonderful will for your life. What is God's wonderful will for your life? That God would be honored in the person of Jesus Christ in you, and that you now would have all the benefits that he provides right now. To be as a child, to be as a son. Now, and again, wonderfully, 1 Thessalonians. And in chapter 2, if I may. And in chapter 2, picking up, please, in verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. We aren't about to please men, no. But God, that's who we're pleasing. There's your little word. Pleasing, satisfying, to comply, to make it God. We're here to satisfy. We're here to fulfill your wonderful will. And pleasing men, but God, pleasing, not pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Verse 15, again, as you know, who both killed, speaking, the Lord Jesus. I'll have to read verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even in the Thessalonians, the Greeks, even as they have of the Jews, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus for their own profit and their own profits, and have persecuted us, and they please not God. They aren't interested in pleasing God, and are contrary to all men. Chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how you ought to walk, not and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So I want you to walk and please God more and more and more. That's what I want. I'm looking for that now. And so therefore we should know we did all of that. What are we to do? We're to pray. And we should, let's just back to your little growing up, you learn to speak because you talked. At every occasion and in every opportunity, you gave expression to the inside by talking. God, how are we going to go and pray? We're going to go and pray because we have a relationship to God the Father by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to pray. So as we look to God, we're praying. And we aren't doing it once a week or whatever. We're doing it on a daily basis, when we go to bed, when we get out of bed, in bed. Work, home, school, we're talking, looking, thanking God for his wonderful personal presence, which we cannot escape from. Now, having said that, so in the light of Thessalonians, and the light of that, so we're to pray as we did all those, 1 Thessalonians 5, well, we're right here, why not? 1 Thessalonians 5, and in verse 17, present tense, a command, pray without ceasing. Just don't stop praying. Don't stop talking. Don't stop trusting. Just keep going. Just keep right on going. That's what you do. Lord, teach us to pray. Talk to God. Talk to God, the Father. Talk to God tonight, tomorrow, the next day, in school, work, hard things. Yep, whenever, difficult things. Talk to God, as you'll see here as we go. Now, so in order to satisfy and comply and to please God, that's what we're doing. That's what you want us to do. Your kingdom come, your will be done in a most wonderful way. So we're to walk in the light. We aren't far away. We'll turn, over to Colossians. Remember now, 1 John 1:7, we're to walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's what it does. So, as we just get out of bed and go to bed and we're living and we stay in the light and we understand Luke 11, verse 3, forgiving one another, etc., that's what we're counting our needs and unforgiving. Being forgiven, that's so, what do you mean? I've been forgiven. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing me from all sin. So I don't have to bring any baggage. I don't have to collect any. I'm looking to you, God, and trusting you in the light. And if I say I have no sin, I make you a liar. I deceive myself. 1 John 1, 8 and 10. I don't want to do that. Now, so here's Colossians, and what are we going to do? Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to just walk in the light, and it's not so hard. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did you do that? John 1:12, as many as received him, very simply, you allowed and believed what God has said and done on Calvary's cross, and you receive him as your Savior. Now, how hard was that? Not hard. In fact, it can't get any easier. All you have to do is have a need. I'll drink the water if I have a need. Now, that's all I had to do. And as you receive Christ, that simply walk in Him. As simple as that. You can't do it simpler. You believed? Walk by faith. The blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him, in Christ, and established in the body of truth, the faith that is to be believed, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And you're going to do it with thanksgiving in a most awesome and wonderful way. And over to chapter 3. Chapter 1, better. What are we going to do? Well, you have all those prayers, as we shared, all those prayers in the New Testament. You want to know what we should pray in the assembly? You pray the prayers in your own heart, in your own home, in the assembly. This is what you're looking for. God, we're looking for it. That's what you are. We want your will. We want your outworking of everything that you're doing. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, there's your word, being fruitful, all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's right, increasing. So what I understood yesterday, I'm going to have it re-educated, rethought, re-understood, and I move forward. And I have to keep growing. What are we talking about? We're trying to practice growing so we aren't in the same rut, doing the same thing in the same way, and we never grow. So God, here we are looking, and we're to be, whatever we do, we're to be pleasing and increasing in our understanding of who you are. And that's hopefully what's happening. If it doesn't happen, then there's a problem. So it needs to happen in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would, in the process. So, and remember we shared together praying. You're right here nearby just to see the word. Over to Philippians. And in chapter 4, we shared together. Verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, be careful, don't worry about anything. Stop worrying, a command. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer, we already did doing that, and everything, and supplication, that means need, you have a need, and to do so with thanksgiving. So we have a need, and we're going to be, we're talking to God, the Father who's in charge, trusting Him, and we have a given situation. If you have a given situation in your life, personal life, then you personally bring it to God, don't you? Since He's your Father, and you're looking to God, and you're trying to go to work, and trying to work out school, and trying to work out heartache and headache and everything else, what are you going to do? You're looking for God, prayer. And you're going to be specific that you have a need. Each one has given needs at a given moment, all different. And we pray. We're to pray for those needs. Supplication. They're personal. What happens to relatives? I have relatives, maybe a couple. I have Jeanette. And in the process, I have. So now, I would pray, but I wouldn't tell you to necessarily pray for that. Why? Because that's a personal thing. That's a personal thing. And I don't want to, what am I saying? Well, that person is under God's care the same as I am. And that person has to trust God the same as I do. I don't trust God for that person. I don't help that person. Spiritually, God does. And all I can do is make sure I'm not in the wrong place, wrong attitude, and coming across. I want to come across as a testimony to my relative. I want to come across that God is a wonderful Savior. You need to trust Him. We say that sometime at reminding ourselves. Here's all the people in the world, and believers are all over the place, including Pradesh. And what do? They have to trust God. And God, I can't trust God for them. And God's right there. They have to do the same thing I do and trust God. And I need to be trusting God. Therefore, I don't want to be worried. Therefore, I bring my need to God with thanksgiving and leave it. I deposit it. I don't play tennis with him back and forth. I don't want to quit play. I don't want to play tennis. I give it to God, I take it back. I give it to God, I take it back. Nope. I'm going to keep doing that until I say thanksgiving. And as you know from history, from my years, we've shared it with you. That's called the prayer of thanksgiving. You gave God the subject and you didn't take it back to carry it. Thank you. Thank you. Why? Because I don't want to get crippled with it, carrying all the burdens and everything. I can't fix them. I can just be in the place to be an example and be a vessel for God to use as he sees fit in whatever way, relatives or whatever, that God would do. Now, having said that, and over to, well, we can't do it. If you went to 1 Timothy 5 and all of that. And for widows, a widow that is a widow indeed, what is she supposed to do? Pray. She's always praying. Why? She's in need. What do? You look to God. God, he didn't say the widow persons that are there, they got needs. And what are they supposed to do? Keep on praying to a heavenly Father who knoweth the needs. That's what you do. And you practice the relationship. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, now we come to the other side of the coin. When it comes to the assembly, we represent God in a most awesome way, in a collective body, not individually. It isn't about any of us. It's about him. Collectively, the body represents his wonderful presence. And when something is involved and affects, like the Dorcas circle they had meetings, to pray for that, different things that come, and the people and business we have, then we're praying. We're praying for what? All of that which affects the assembly, when we start to worry about it or we have a need, then supplication, then we bring it to God and look to God, which is what is supposed to be done. Look to God to work it out. And if we do that correctly, there's a little word we're going to say, what? Thank you. And we're done with it. God has to work it out. Because we're looking to God. It's his place. Spirit of God's the boss. He outworks everything. We aren't the boss. He's the boss. And we don't have any power. God does. So we're looking to God. Now, when it comes to our country, like things that happen that are very difficult, then the church wants to be a testimony in the midst of that. So that all the more we need to look to God. All the more we need to understand God. All the more we need to be able to grow and know correctly so that the assembly is a proper instrument in the light of a world that's getting dark and darker and darker and darker. And therefore, no one's going to be able to, they're trying to solve the darkness with more darkness. If you put that together. And you can't solve it. You need light. Someone turn the light on. We don't want the light because we hate dark. We hate light. Men love darkness, you know what? Men love darkness, John 3, rather than light. They love darkness. So how do you solve it? You don't solve it. It's easy to solve. Lots of things in our society, our country, are easily solvable if you just did them right, just common sense, if you didn't have all the politicians and everything trying to produce their philosophy, their agendas. It's just common sense. We need money to go to the hamburger store. We need money to go to publicized. Wendy Mac. Now that's I didn't pick on any one of them. The Wendy Mac store. And you go to the Wendy Mac store, and we have whatever, and what do we do? We can't do more than that. We can do less, but we can't do more than it. And we're able to do what we need to do. We're hungry, and we do it. So we're looking to God. So here's the assembly, and the assembly, when it's internally, externally, it's testimony. That's where we're praying, pleasing God, looking to God, trusting God. And if there's a given need, a given function, like the Bible clubs or something else, then we remember that. We want to remember that. It's the Wesleyan and the Trinity and all of those different things. Those are part of our outreach, and we're seeking to be outreaching, newspaper ads, newspaper stuff and all of that, and we try to do that. And that's what you're doing. But you don't mix it up, because then you're losing it. You're working, you have a wonderful, wonderful position in Christ if you're saved. And that wonderful position in Christ is magnified zillion times, because you're in the body of Christ with all the other believers. Peter, James, Paul, Luke, you're in it with all of them, and all of them together, like your body. What happens if silly, if you were just a, liver's the biggest part, if you were just a liver, are you a liver? Not, anyway, you don't want to be a liver. The liver can enjoy being a liver. It does over 100 things, the liver does. Over 100 functions, the liver. Wow. Now, in the process of that, the liver can't enjoy, it's a liver. But it can't enjoy being a liver without the rest of the parts of the body. Can it? How can your liver enjoy being a liver apart from the rest? An individual believer is an awesome thing. But more than that, it's when they come together. And all of the parts make that part, when the liver comes together with the pancreas and the lungs and the kidneys and all of that, they all come together. And they call that a body. Christ's body. And he's the head. You couldn't get any more magnificent than that. That's when you become alive. You don't become, I don't become it all by myself, and neither do you. It's all of us and the same God saving and bringing us together to have a unique expression of who he is. And that's why you'll then begin to at least think a little more that you're seated where? Ephesians 2, 6 and 7, you're seated where? In heavenly places. And that's your future. That's your future. Not as an individual sitting, being a body, wonderfully perfect, representing what? Each part of the body, making one life, to be exhibited forever to show the grace of God to the angels, the good angels, the bad angels in the lake of fire, the unsaved humans in the lake of fire, to be a testimony of God's grace. That's awesome.